Church this morning. Welcome if you're joining us online. And Happy New Year. Happy Chinese or Happy Lunar New Year to everyone. This was the reddest shirt I had, so sorry about that. So a quick recap, if you haven't been here the last few weeks. We've been kicking off this year exploring spiritual growth. So a deeper faith in God and a closer relation with the Spirit. And in particular, I want to take us through some key moments in Joshua's life to see what his experiences can teach us about our spiritual growth today. Now Joshua, just in case, Joshua, who is Joshua? Joshua was a young Israelite who lived in the time of Moses. Right, he started off as Moses' assistant, and then when Moses died, he took over as Israel's next leader. Now, leading an entire nation is no small feat. And we see from his life story that he could do it in part because of the spiritual maturity that he had. Now, last week, we looked at the big picture story that defined the first half of Joshua's life, right? The Exodus. So God's promise to the Israelites was that he would rescue them out of Egypt and into the promised land. And we saw how that parallels our Christian journey, right? That God rescues us too out of our Egypt, out of the land of slavery to sin, with the promise of a new way of living in a land of plenty. And we saw how that all begins, right? By entrusting ourselves to Jesus and trusting in him as our Lord or Master and Savior. And then that is our foundation. Without Jesus as your Lord, you can't make progress. But once we're out of Egypt, once we've been saved, we have an active choice to make, right? Whether to wander in the wilderness, a land where we are saved but is spiritually dry, or to step into the fullness of God's promises, where there is abundance and spiritual power. And now there are many reasons why we might want to do that, but I think A.W. Tozer, we're doing a lot of Tozer today, sums it up best like this. He said, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. Right? The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe version of Christianity. So I don't know about you, but that's the kind of spiritual life I want. So at this point, I feel like I need to make one thing clear, which is that if you're a Christian already, if you trust in Jesus, you have access to the Spirit-filled life already. Right? It's not something that God is keeping from you. Ephesians 1 tells us that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so like Tozer said, it's part and parcel of what Jesus has already accomplished for us on the cross. So it's not that there are different levels or different degrees of Christianity. It comes down to a question of maturity. Right, so as an example, a baby is no less human than an adult. Right, but there are things that an adult can do that a baby can't simply because the adult is more mature. And in the same way, all Christians are fully filled by the same Spirit. But there is a growing that needs to happen. And what we read today in our scripture reading is one of those things that helps us grow. And that thing is an intimacy with the presence of God. Right, so intimacy meaning closeness. So there are three things I want to explore today. First, what is the presence of God? Two, why do we want intimacy with God's presence? And three, how do we grow in that intimacy? Right? What is the presence of God? Why do we need intimacy with God's presence? And how do we grow in intimacy with God? So first, what is the presence of God? Now, it's important we understand what we're talking about before we get to the why and the how. I have to admit that this is something that I had to learn for today, and I'm still learning. So if you have questions or want to talk more about this later, I would love to have a chat. But I think when we talk about God's presence, there are sort of two kind of opposites that show up. First, there's this idea that God is present everywhere, all the time, right? He's omnipresent. Omni meaning all, right? So he's all present. Now, I'm not saying that everything is God, which is obviously wrong, but that God is everywhere. And if God is already everywhere, then, okay, is there anything more we need to do? So that's one thing. But then there's this other idea that you often see in contemporary worship, where people say things like, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Come, you are welcome here. Which makes it sound like, no, God's not here. We almost have to like bring him here or get him to come here somehow. So it's like God is everywhere. Is God everywhere? Or is God not here and we have to bring him here? And if you know me, you know that the second way of framing it has always been a bit of a pet peeve of mine, because it doesn't make sense to me that we have to almost like implore God to show up. But on the other hand, if God is present everywhere already, which I think we would agree, then why is that not something that is more universally recognized and obvious? And that's a question that Tozer asks. If God is present everywhere, why don't people see it more often? All right, so for example, Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And yet we find that, no, it actually can be hard to recognize God's presence. Right, so an example would be Jacob, after he had a vision of angels ascending and descending from heaven. He says this, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. So we see that God can be somewhere, but we can still be unaware of God's presence. And I think this is how we can reconcile these two apparently opposite views. Right? God is everywhere. But we have to be aware of his presence for it to be manifest. Right? Manifest to be evident or apparent or clear. So this is what Tozer suggests about God's presence. He says the presence and the manifestation of the presence are not the same thing. There can be one without the other. God is here even when we are wholly unaware of it. But he's manifest only when and as we are aware of his presence. If we cooperate with him in loving obedience, God will manifest himself to us. And that manifestation will be the difference between a nominal Christian life, like a life in the wilderness, and a life radiant with the light of his face, that spirit-filled life. And so what we want to be pursuing is like what we sing in some of our songs, let us become more aware of your presence, because God is here already. I was listening to a Maverick City album, and the lead singer opened up a song by saying, Father, you're so near, you're so close, we acknowledge your presence in this place. And so God is present always. But it's only when we're aware, intentionally aware of his presence, that it starts to make a difference in our lives. Right? Does that make sense? We have to be consciously aware of God's presence. Now let me talk about a little bit about the why. Just in case you still need some convincing. Why do we want intimacy with God's presence? I think Tozer in that previous quote actually kind of already answered that question. But I want to show you what happens to people who have this intimacy with God's presence. So we'll start with Moses and Joshua, which was in our scripture reading today. Joshua lived in a time when God's presence was much more clearly visible. Right, I'm talking about the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Right, that pillar was God's presence traveling with the Israelites as they went through the wilderness towards the promised land. God was this pillar and everyone could see a God there and leading them. Later on, when they built the tabernacle, right, the tabernacle was like the portable temple they had while they were traveling. That was always in the center of their camp. So if you've ever seen a diagram of how they camped, the tabernacle was in the middle, and then you have three tribes. They had 12 tribes in total, so they had three tribes on each side. And the tabernacle was literally in the center of their camp. So clearly, God was present all the time, and they could see him or see his presence, and he was there, right in their middle. But although God's presence was with them, Moses and Joshua, in particular, had this intimate time in God's presence in that tent of meeting. Right? That was in our scripture reading today. Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, calling it the tent of meeting. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud, which is God's presence, would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to camp, but his young aide Joshua did not leave the tent. So Joshua, even while he was an assistant, before he was a leader, he had already learnt the importance of spending intimate time with God. He saw what it was like when someone was so close to God, Moses, that they could speak face to face as a friend. And Joshua was so hungry to learn that and to have that, that even when Moses left, he would stay behind just to continue to be in that intimate space of being in the presence of God. I want to say that knowing God's presence as the pillar of fire, right, that awesome display of power, that's kind of like coming to church every week, where we come together and we worship as a body the majesty and glory of God, and we can stand in awe of that. And the tabernacle at the center of the Israelite camp, right, the Bible tells us that that's a metaphor for how Jesus is in our midst, in the center of our lives. So like with the Israelites, God is clearly present among us, but to truly grow in spiritual maturity, we need to go further. We need to long for and seek and linger in that space of deeper intimacy with God, like Joshua did in that tent. There are so many other examples. We can look to David, right? Israel's King David, whose desire for intimacy is recorded in the Psalms. He says, he writes things like, "I long to dwell in your tent forever." Or again, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." We could look to the story of Daniel. Daniel, who would consistently spend time in prayer every day, even though it was illegal and the other administrators were trying to trap him. Right? Because he knew that intimacy would grow his trust and faith in God, even though he was faced with the lion's den. We could go beyond the Bible and see how generations of Christians since have gone on to do great things because like Joshua and David and Daniel, they understand that intimacy with God is crucial. Brother Lawrence was a 17th century cook in a monastery. So he wasn't a monk, he was the cook in a monastery. But he learned to be so aware of the presence of God in the midst of his everyday work in the kitchen that people would go to him for spiritual guidance. And in fact, when he died, they collected his thoughts and ideas into a book. And that book is called The Practice of the Presence of God, which is still being published today and is a classic text in Christian spirituality. Just another example, we've got John Wesley, who is an 18th century evangelist. And he inspired the Methodist movement. If you ever see a church that says Methodist Church, that came from him. So John Wesley would spend 2 hours every morning praying with his Bible open. Because, again, he understood that quiet time with God, that time spent intentionally in his presence, was crucial to his spiritual maturity and formation. And so it doesn't surprise me that many major Christian traditions, including our Alliance tradition, have been heavily inspired by his writings. Right? That's the kind of impact a person can make when they cherish that kind of intimacy with God. All the great heroes of faith, both old and contemporary, when we look at their lives, the common thread through them is that they have an intimate awareness of God's presence. And they've learned to dwell in that and let that transform their lives. And so, how do we grow in that intimacy? I'm sure that we want it, that we desire it, that we long for it, like David expressed in the Psalms. But I think a lot of us also experience that we try, we sit down with our Bibles open, we start reading plans, we try to establish regular praying times, but somehow in the busyness of our everyday lives, they either don't seem to stick, or we feel like we're not getting anything out of it. So today I want to share with you an ancient practice called Lectio Divina. And some of you might have heard of that. But I found this to be really helpful for growing in intimacy with God's presence. I still have quite a bit. But thanks. Thanks. I'll give you a cue. So Lectio Divina. I found this to be really helpful for growing in the intimacy of God's presence. And so this is a particular way of reading the Bible that combines reading with meditating and praying. All right, so it's a particular way of reading the Bible, but don't just hear me out first. So I've been doing this for a while now, and the reason it's helpful is because, one, it gives you a sense of direction for what to do when you're reading the Bible on your own. Two, it helps you practice hearing what God is saying to you through his word. And three, it's all about being in God's presence, being in conversation with God through his word and through prayer, which then trains your sensitivity to his presence and leaves you wanting to go back for more. And so Lectio Divina, it means sacred reading. And there are four parts. Read, meditate, pray, contemplate. And depending on your source, these are the sort of standard words, but they're quite hard to remember. So some sources will say things like, we'll rename them. The one in the reading plan in the Bible app goes read, reflect, respond, rest, which is all R. So there are different ways to think about it, but I'm going to stick to the sort of standard terms for now. Actually, there's a fifth part. Before you start, always remember to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to make this a sacred space and to open up God's word to you. Because, you know, we're meeting with God. And so at the end of the day, there is a holiness to this time. So before you start, pray and ask the Spirit to help you hear and understand. So then, read. The first thing, read. So unsurprisingly, read the text. But read it slowly. Right? Read it carefully. Read it word by word. It doesn't have to be a long passage. It might be better to just focus on one or two verses. Read it a few times. Read it out loud. The Bible is the Word of God. And so savor that reading. Appreciate what it's saying. And as you read it, see if there are any words or phrases that jump out at you. And then hang on to those. The next thing is meditate. Listen to what God is saying to you through the passage. It's not an exercise of reading comprehension. It's not about analyzing the text, which is something that's really easy for me to get into. The practice here is to hear with your heart, not your head. What I like to do for this part is I find it helpful to use my imagination, and I put myself into that text. If it's a parable, I'm in that story, observing it. If it's a psalm, let's say Psalm 23, where the Lord is my shepherd, then I see myself right there in that green meadow, next to that river, with that flowing river. And then Jesus, my shepherd, is right there, and he's taking care of me. And then as I'm in that space, I'm listening to God with my heart. What is God saying? And then as you listen, you can then move on to pray. Now, pray is quite a general word, but look at this as a conversation time with God. Tell him what you heard. Ask him questions. Voice out the things that he brings to your attention. Is there a sin in your life he's calling you to confess and repent from? Is there something that he's inviting you into? Say that back to God and see how he responds. Does he confirm it? Or is it something else? So it's a time of conversation and prayer. And then as that comes to a close, we finish with contemplate. And this one's the one that takes the most getting used to. It's simply where you rest in God's presence. It's not about doing. It's just about being in his presence. For example, the Psalms say, "Be still and know that I am God." What I like to do for this part is I turn my mind to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one at a time. What is the Father saying? What is the Son saying? What is Jesus saying? What is the Holy Spirit stirring up in me? So like Joshua, staying in the tent, this is us, staying in God's presence and letting that transform us. And that's it. Read, meditate, pray, contemplate. It can take as little as a few minutes, and it can go on for as long as you like. My suggestion, though, is don't force it and just move on to the next step once it feels like it's time to move on. Now, that said, I truly believe that God's presence is so captivating and so compelling that when you start doing something like this and you genuinely just cry out to God and seek his presence, once you've started doing that, later, if you then don't get in your quiet time with God, you will start to feel like there's something missing from your life. That's how powerful I believe God's presence is and how it can change our hearts. And so to wrap up today, I want to give us a few minutes, just a few minutes, to try Lectio Divina right now. I've picked a verse. It's our memory verse for the month. And it's up there on the screen. So for the next few minutes, just by yourselves, go through those steps. Read, meditate, pray, contemplate. The instructions are all there. I just want you to experience for a moment what it's like to sit in God's presence. So let me pray for us to start. Father God, you know that we long to know you deeper, that we want to know you closer, to experience you in our lives in ways that we might not have yet up to this time. And so as we listen to your word and listen to you, I pray that your spirit opens the ears and the eyes of our heart, that we can see and hear you, what you want to say to us through your word this morning. Speak to us and help us here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.